Hello, my beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Hot, Healthy, Never Hungry. You know, recently I was in a conversation with dietitian Hannah, if you know her from the membership or coaching. Her specialty is overeating, emotional eating, intuitive eating, having a healthy relationship to food and your body, you name it, everything in between. If you've struggled with your mindset and coaching, you've definitely had a call with Hannah. But I was talking with her and the conversation of emotional eating and specifically food addictions came up. And as we were talking, we got into the conversation of sugar addiction because this is something we hear from clients a lot of members as well, inside of so many of our programs. So as we got to talking, we both just kind of, you know, looked at each other and we're like, oh my goodness, we totally need to do a podcast episode on sugar addiction. I loved the topic. I love talking about it. And it's something that I think is really important to address because I can probably guess and probably know that if you click today's episode and you heard the statement or saw the statement rather across your screen, across your phone, about I'm addicted to sugar or I'm addicted to insert whatever dessert that you might be thinking of, and you can't have that food in your house because you always just overeat it, this is absolutely the episode for you because sugar addiction is, I think, one of the most misunderstood and misrepresented struggles in the nutrition field. So by the end of today's mini episode, I want to talk about, is sugar really addictive? What impacts sugar cravings? And how to work towards having a normal relationship to foods that you typically tend to overeat. Now, before I get into today's episode, as much as I'm a dietitian, I want to be fully transparent that I know the spectrum of struggles around food, whether it's overeating, emotional eating, and perhaps even just the love of food if you're a foodie. I know food is absolute pleasure. And the point of today's episode is really to help you actually improve your relationship to sugar, to help you create positive boundaries with the food that we know can harm our health or not be as healthful for us, but also understand that there isn't one food that's bad and you can't not have these foods either. And I specifically just wanted to say this before we dive into today's episode, because if there's one thing I really want you to know about me, it is that I'm not only a dietitian, but I'm you. And I specifically bring this up because if there's one thing that you may not know about me, if you don't listen to the show regularly, is I love sugar. I love sweets. I literally like live for ice cream. I live for desserts. And then that love of sweets during my pregnancy, oh my gosh, like every night I've been wanting dessert. Every night I've been having some sort of sweet treat, more than I even have when I am, you know, not pregnant. And I bring this up because your relationship to food and your relationship to sweets, you know, I wouldn't be in the place that I am at if I didn't have a positive relationship to these foods. And I wouldn't be, I think, as healthy as I could be if I didn't actually address what I used to think probably was a sugar addiction and really understood that these foods can fit in, even though we do want boundaries around them too. So without further ado, let's talk about first, is sugar really addictive? So me and Hannah, when we first were discussing and chatting about sugar addiction, we were both bonding over the fact that we've had so many clients over the years share with us, and even more recently, that they feel like they can't have specific foods in their house, whether it's ice cream, whether it's cookies, whether it's chocolate, you name it, we've seen it, we've heard of it, that you feel like you can't have these foods in your house because they are addicting, and you literally feel addicted to these foods. If they are in your presence, you are going for them. Now, when we're looking at the science of addiction, and I am not an addiction specialist, so don't quote me, guys. But when we think about nutritional science and the science of nutrition, rather, and think about addiction, specifically around foods that give us a lot of pleasure, the truth is that sugar can absolutely spark pleasure centers in our brain, similar to the way drugs can spark pleasure centers in our brain. Because what's important to keep in mind is we have certain behaviors and certain habits, and they get reinforced biologically within us, not because they just make us feel good, but because when they make you feel good, there's this reaction that happens that reinforces you doing it because you want that specific outcome. So just like drugs can be addictive, you know, even a hug from your partner, that could perhaps, I'm not necessarily saying you're addicted to hugs from your partner. I'm definitely addicted to hugs from my husband, guys. But when you have something pleasurable happen, you usually want that thing to happen more. So that's why there can be a quote unquote, not addiction, but a quote unquote desire is a better way to put it, to have that repeated behavior. And Once again, I'm not a drug and alcohol abuse addiction specialist, absolutely not my wheelhouse. But what's important to understand in this conversation around food and food addictions and sugar addictions is, unlike alcohol or drug addictions, if we were truly addicted to sugar, we would be eating tablespoons of it even without the specific food associated with it. But the thing is, food isn't addicting in that way, in the way that maybe drug or alcohol is addicting, right? And usually when we desire these high sugar foods, also we're desiring the whole food product, not just the sugar, right? And when we look at a lot of these food products, what also is important to understand is the fact that these food products pack fat in them. They pack a combination of, you know, nutrients that are really pleasurable. Sweet things are something we desire. We're going to talk about the tongue in a second. You will understand where I'm going with that in a second. But remember that sugar is intensely pleasurable. It's a food that not only all carbs are made from sugars, but specifically the foods that we think about are most delicious are literally manufactured and designed to be very tasty. These foods are really easy to overeat. So while I'm not here to say sugar is addictive or sugar isn't addictive, I usually take the stance that sugar is not inherently addictive. However, it is extremely pleasurable. So it can make us feel like we want to continuously have this product, which can somewhat feel like mentally for us, depending on what we're going through in our lives, can somewhat feel like it's a little bit addicting. But I would be doing every single woman listening to this episode right now, including you, girlfriend, I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't just talk about sugar addiction, but I specifically talked about things that increase cravings. Because sugar cravings are not just because the food tastes good. Sugar cravings happen for a whole bunch of reasons, some of them biological, some of them emotional. Also, some of them completely just related to how the food is manufactured. Let's be real, ladies. But what's important to understand is there are very specific things that will increase sugar cravings that if you are going through a difficult time in your life, or if you're a person like me that just genuinely really loves high sugar foods, I swear there's a biological component to it, guys, because I swear like I was designed to eat sweet treats. I was designed to love dessert. That's my thing, guys. But what's important to understand about on a fitness journey when you're improving your health is, you know, just because a food is sweet, doesn't mean you inherently will have no control over it. There are certain things in your life and lifestyle that have to be set up for you to see success. And while these things won't necessarily get away all of those sugar cravings or make them never happen again, they're incredibly important as the foundation to prevent your quote unquote sugar addiction or your quote unquote sugar problem becoming worse. These are things that are so important to get right. They're the foundations of healthy eating, but also the foundations of healthy weight loss when you do love sugar. So something important to keep in mind, whether you're trying to lose weight or not, that increases sugar cravings is specifically not eating enough calories. And what's important to understand is carbs are the main fuel source in our body, and all carbs break down into sugar. Now, while this episode isn't talking about the different types of carbohydrates, meaning some carbs are faster absorbed, like sugar in the raw that you're putting in your coffee in the morning, or that Starbucks syrup, where there's some carbohydrates that pack more fiber in them, and those are going to be more slow absorbed. They don't spike our blood sugar as much, all that juicy stuff. What's important to understand is regardless of the type of carbs that you're eating, if you are not eating enough calories, your body wants one thing to happen. It wants more sugar because we love to run our bodies on sugar. So when you are not eating enough calories and you are severely below what it takes to maintain your weight, what is going to happen is that is going to increase your body's desire to eat. Your hunger is going to go up, but specifically the types of foods you go for, your body wants those quick absorbing carbs so it can get fuel fast. So that is one of the big things that will really increase your sugar cravings, especially if it's already a pre-existing problem, which is why women who have a poor relationship to food, women who do struggle with overeating, women who specifically struggle with overeating sweets, that is why the way you go about dieting is incredibly important. So you're not exacerbating an already existing problem to make that sugar craving situation worse. The next thing that's important to keep in mind when it comes to sugar cravings is if you are not eating enough carbohydrates. So not only may you not be eating enough calories, but when you are not eating a lot of carbs in your diet, this can really cause your desire to eat carbs to skyrocket to the moon. You can't control yourself, which is why many women on a low carbohydrate diet, the one thing they desire, not just because they might be in a calorie deficit, but because they are eating very low carb, the one thing their bodies wants are more carbs. And then you pair that with maybe you work out a lot, you live a fit, active, healthy lifestyle. Well, guess what? The more you exercise, the more your body is actually using carbs as a fuel source to fuel that exercise as well. And the more intense you exercise, the more it wants to use carbs as well, because that's its preferred and primary fuel source. So when you're not eating enough carbs, what does your body do? You're going to want more carbohydrates. Thus, your sugar cravings are going to increase. The third thing that's important to keep in mind related to all of this, that can kind of be like, say you're not eating enough calories and say you're not eating enough carbs, but then you're doing this third thing, it can create just a freaking disaster in your diet and really cause your sugar cravings to be out of control. And it is restricting it. When you are heavily restricting all things sugar in your diet, for many women, this can exacerbate the problem and make you, because of psychological reasons, really want those foods. You want what you can't have. One of my favorite analogies is the bow and arrow. You pull that bow and arrow back, well, the bow back rather. And what happens? The farther you pull the bow back, the more it goes forward. So when you're restricting all of these sugar-rich, dessert-loving foods that you love or whatever sugar-rich foods, what can happen is that arrow can go forward. And that's the overeating. That's why you can't have these foods in your house, because you're restricting them. So I know it sounds incredibly counterintuitive, but when you are heavily restrictive and you pair that with a dieting mindset, an all or nothing dieting mindset, a mindset around food that isn't positive, a very restrictive mindset, a black and white thinking mindset around anything that you eat, this can really exacerbate the problem and make it so you feel like you can't have these foods around you without completely overdoing it, completely overeating, and completely blowing all of your progress. Another thing that I just also wanted to bring up is the fact that our lifestyle can also drastically impact our cravings, whether it's stress and we're busy and we're low energy. Like, those are the times where you're always going for those foods. And what's important to understand is in those moments, I know for myself, at the end of the day, when I am tired, when I am exhausted, when I am low energy, when I don't want to cook, it is so much more pleasurable, the idea of having something sweet like a cookie versus having something nourishing. And that's part of not only the mindset we have to break around these foods and understanding how can we create a diet and a foundation with the way that we eat that gives our body what it needs. But what also is important to understand is when we are in these moments where there's more triggers, there's more like a doorway opening up for us to make these poor decisions, those are the times we're going to want those foods. And part of that is also for emotional comfort, emotional pleasure. And that's why, you know, when you're going through a difficult time, that's part of the whole, not just biological, but psychological component of sugar cravings, because those foods are usually comfortable and pleasurable and enjoyable and give us a little hit of excitement and buzz and happiness during a time that might be difficult or during a time when we are exhausted, right? So that's why we have to be really cognizant of our environment and our emotional state, as well as how we're structuring our diet when we're talking about sugar cravings. And of course, I cannot help but bring this up, but I am not saying just eat sugar whenever you want. I'm not saying I want your diet to be Twinkies and Snickers bars and just ice cream all day, every day. That is not the point of this podcast. That has never been the point of this podcast. You will always be hungry. You know, the show's called Hot, Healthy, Never Hungry. No, girl, you're always going to be hungry if you are not eating the right foods. But you can mindfully include sugar in your diet. That is not the problem here. That is not why you can't lose weight. I mean, for some people, maybe it's the problem, but it's because not only are you eating sugar, but it's because the foundation of your diet isn't where you need it to be. And what's important to understand about sugar addiction is I really view it, I mean, Hannah, we're actually talking about this, how sugar addiction can also be really linked to being like a habit, right? You have a higher sugar diet and you eat a lot of more processed, added sugar-rich foods. And you have to understand that the way you eat shapes your food preferences. And what's really interesting, and I remember like till this day, I think about this from grad school, literally, if you eat more added sugars in your diet, it will shape and change the taste preferences on your tongue. And that will impact your desire to have sugar. So while I'm here saying, I want you to not restrict it, I want you to be mindful of how you incorporate it, I want you to have a normal relationship with these foods. On the other hand, it is important to understand the way we fuel our bodies dictates how severe or how significant this addiction, quote unquote, to sugar can feel like for us. When you are eating a very unbalanced diet and you are eating a lot of added sugars, it's almost like this positive feedback loop of you want more sugar because your tongue's used to that super sweet, artificially flavored, and maybe, you know, candy bar manufactured product versus the strawberry is not going to taste as sweet. The soda is going to taste way more sweet than having that wholesome fruit at home, right? That banana. And so part of understanding our food preferences and how it impacts sugar addiction is also understanding our habits. Because when you have a lot of these foods, it then becomes a habit. It's no longer a little craving. It's something that you do because it's become part of your routine. So what increases cravings in this scenario is the fact that sugar can become a habit in your lifestyle. It can become a coping mechanism for yourself. It can become something that is just always something that you go to. Like myself, when I'm walking past my pantry, one of the longest standing habits I have to break because I love making cookies is the fact that I have chocolate chips in my pantry. And when I have a sweet tooth craving, what am I doing? I'm not opening up the ice cream container. I'm not, you know, going down the street to get a cookie. No, I'm going and getting a little handful of chocolate chips. And that's maybe like your habit, or maybe you have a different habit with a sweet treat or fun food in your life. But you also have to understand and take ownership and accountability and be reflective on the habits that you have and how it shapes your food preferences. But also the habits that you have, it also changes your biology. It also changes how your body responds in these situations. So sometimes taking a little break from that product is fine. Sometimes I do need to create a boundary with sweet treats, but that has to come not through restriction, because that restriction just is going to make you binge it. It has to come through awareness and intentional change. That way you're not just cutting out those chocolate chips or cutting out the cookie or cutting out the ice cream or cutting out the dessert at dinner just because you're on a fitness journey. No, you have to understand how it can fit in. Sometimes taking a break from it to focus on more healthful foods is great. But you, once again, if you're going to do that, you got to make sure you're eating enough calories. You're eating enough of the right healthy carbs. You're not restricting it aimlessly, because that's not the point here. You need to actually address your relationship to food to be able to have those foods in your house and be normal around them. There are times and places, and maybe this is another podcast episode I should do, where maybe you're separating yourself from the sweet treat for a little bit of time and you're not buying it so you can reestablish a positive relationship to it. I love that, especially if you're going through something difficult. You're not going to put an alcoholic in a bar when they're day one of recovery. No, that's a horrible idea. Which is why with many of my clients, I say, let's take the food product out. I want it in your house, but right now is not the point for that. Right now, we got to establish some healthy habits. We got to really improve your relationship to food. We need to unpack that these foods aren't bad. It's our relationship to them, what's going on in our lives, and how we can coexist with them more sustainably, be better. Plus, I just want to point out, the more you have this food in front of you, the more you're going to want it. You're going to see it at eye level. So as much as I want you to have sweet treats in your house, it really is important to understand to not just cut these foods out. It's important to be very intentional about how you're navigating this quote unquote sugar addiction recovery, how you are setting yourself up for success by having the foods that you need, but also understanding how these fun foods can fit in at the same time. Because while diet culture is going to tell you it's this or that, it's you either are overeating these foods and you're never going to lose weight and intuitive eating and all of that, or you have to be super restrictive. You have to be so intense with these foods. Like, there is no in between. I'm here to tell you there is a gray area. You can have a positive relationship to sweets. You can have them in your house when you intentionally want them in your home. And you can also achieve your dream body. You can also be healthy. You can also have a very healthful diet. And in fact, finding that balance, finding that gray area is how you, girlfriend, are going to achieve your dream body and have the best health. I hope this episode helped you out. I will see you guys on Thursday and have a wonderful week. Hey, girlfriend, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you'd like to learn more about eating right for fat loss and never gaining weight back, I'll be continuing this party on Instagram, where you can find me at sorority.nutritionist, posting inspiration every single day. Also, if you're wondering where to get started on your journey, be sure to head to thesororitynutritionist.com/quiz to take my free quiz that will tell you why you aren't losing weight and what you can begin to do about it so you can see progress faster. You can also find any other links and resources mentioned in the show at thesororitynutritionist.com under free resources. I hope you have such a beautiful day, and I will see you next time, girlfriend.